Hey guys, Skybook is giving away five $200 free play prizes. Just sign up with skybook.ag, deposit $200 or more before December 31st, and mention code DFS1000 for a chance to win one of these prizes. Winners will be announced here on January 4th. Skybook is also the home of the free half point advantage. Guys, that's an awesome advantage that you could take, getting a free half point, basically favorable lines. You have to squeeze every penny out of those lines. So if you want a great sports book, if you want the free half point, take advantage and move the lines half a point in your favor for free. Call these guys at 1-888-759-2665. Claim promo code DFS1000. Get in on the $200 free play prize. Get in on the home of the free half point and start crushing some sports books.
In 2015, an elite DFS Army Commando unit formed to bring high-level DFS strategy to the masses. Today, hated by DFS sharks and lineup sellers alike, they continue their quest to turn Joe into DFS pro.
What's up, everybody? Kevin Allen here, and I am back with another DFS Army Daily Fantasy Football Breakdowns podcast sponsored by DFSArmy.com and Skybook Sportsbook. So here we go. Week 16. For a lot of people, this is your championship week. So if you're listening now and you're a season-long player, congratulations. You've made it. Make some good decisions this week. I'm getting a lot of crazy questions from DFS Army members. And just people on Twitter and random and friends. Hey, who should I play and what should I do? And it's a tough week, man. You got to make your own decisions here. But try to play your studs, watch the matchups, and hopefully you didn't ride Gurley to the championship because he's not looking too good for this weekend. So let's see what happens there. But there's a couple spots where you might have ridden some players to the championship and all of a sudden get burned. A big one this week is Aaron Jones, who had been pretty hot, kind of somebody you were relying on a little bit going into the finals, and then injured for the season. So hopefully you had Jamal Williams on your bench, unlike me, who did not have him on my bench on my Aaron Jones, Todd Gurley team, which is why I'm talking about them. But we're not here to talk about season-long fantasy football. We're here to break down Daily Fantasy Football slate for FanDuel and DraftKings in Week 16. Let's get it going. All right, our first game on the docket. We've got the Titans at home against the hapless Washington Redskins. The Redskins, who have been just terrible offensively, mostly all season, but certainly the last few weeks with random people at the helm. Now, if you're playing the two-game slate on FanDuel or DraftKings, the Saturday only, which is the only real game that this is pertinent to, and I don't want to spend too much time on it, but I actually don't mind. So Josh Johnson is a contrarian play, or whatever his first name, what's his first name? Yeah, Josh Johnson, the quarterback for the Redskins, has actually been putting up okay numbers because he rushes a lot. You know, he had 9 rushing attempts last week for 49 yards. So it's kind of like a Josh Allen light kind of thing going on here with Josh Johnson. The issue for me is no one scores against the Titans. The Titans are a team that has limited opposing scoring all season. I don't even need to look at the numbers to know that that's what they do. We saw it last week. They pretty much stymied a very, very solid Saquon Barkley and the Giants defense. So let's just get the numbers real quick on this one. Jump it over to the Skybook Sportsbook. We've got the over-under here set at 37 points. And are you ready for this? The Titans, 10-point home favorites. So the Redskins have been given an anemic 13.5-point projected total. I want to point out that that is the lowest projected team total of the season that I can recall. So to make life easy in real life now, the true thing to do here is completely avoid playing anybody from the Redskins, and we're going to load up on Derrick Henry. I mean, let's get real. 10-point favorites at home. That's exactly where you want the Bruiser running back. Now, wouldn't it be funny if Derrick Henry busted in this spot after he went bananas in two games where he probably wouldn't have been expected to the last couple of weeks? He's been going crazy. And it's just delicious irony if he doesn't do anything here. Now, all that said, I think he will. You almost have to play Derrick Henry. And again, when that happens for DFS purposes, for daily fantasy sports purposes, we almost want to not do it just to be contrarian. But are people sharp enough? Yeah, I think so. Then in a two-game slate, he'll be very highly owned, and rightfully so. So we're going to avoid him. There's not really much else to like on these two offenses. I guess Chris Davis, if you want to get silly, he's up and down. He plays better at home. I don't like anything else. So let's move on to the next game on the two-game Saturday-only slate. And jumping over to Skybook Sportsbook, I see the Ravens taking on the Chargers in a game with a 43.5-point total. The Chargers are home favorites, favored by 4.5 points. And right now, those numbers can really shift a lot. So if you want to take advantage of it, if you have some insight, now's the time to take advantage of it. The reason being, I feel like if Gordon plays and if Keenan Allen plays, then the Chargers should be slightly more favored than they are. Right now, the Ravens boast the 6th overall run defense in the league and the pretty much number 1 overall pass defense in the league. Now, the Chargers have been a fantastic offense. They're top of the league run pass. Defensively, the Chargers are really great versus, they're just a solid defense. 16th versus the run, so middling, and a little bit better than that, 9th overall against the pass. Now, the Ravens don't really pass much. They've got Lamar Jackson at the helm, so they're doing a whole, like, running thing. Jackson can get benched at any time, which makes me nervous about rostering him or any of his playmakers. I mean, last week, Gus Edwards got 19 carries. Okay. Now, that game plan last week that the Ravens employed was about keeping the Tampa offense off the field. It's just what they do every week with Jackson and Edwards and this group. Kenneth Dixon, who was sort of a popular play last week as a salary saver, he had 11 carries, 48 yards, so he did just fine. Played second fiddle to Gus Edwards, but it wasn't bad. It wasn't terrible. Now, the Chargers are going to get back Melvin Gordon this week, it looks like, and I'm assuming he's going to play. He's practicing. Now, this isn't a great spot for Gordon, taking on this Ravens defense, but that doesn't mean you can't play him. There aren't elite options at the running back position. I do think people will shy away from Gordon, but there's also a case to be made that you can't really create a lineup where you spend a whole lot on this particular slate. So you might as well play Gordon. On the flip side, I think Phillip Rivers has to be the top quarterback play of the slate. Again, even in a terrible match, it's a weird slate. And even in a terrible matchup, because this Ravens run defense is pretty solid. And my expectation would be, even if Gordon is doing a lot of damage, maybe he's doing it through the air, through the pass. So, you know, that goes to Rivers as well. Keenan Allen's questionable. We don't know if he's going to play. If he doesn't, I go right back to Mike Williams. He looked like a beast. I like Mike Williams anyway. He looked amazing last week. We had a member win a share of the $250,000 first price showdown prize in that last game, with Mike Williams in the captain spot. So shout out to Biggs. Well done. DFSArmy.com VIP member took down first place, $14,000 on a $9 bet. It's good ROI. So well done. But we got Mike Williams, 7 targets, just went bananas last week, 36 fantasy points on DraftKings. Terrell Williams, sure. And then a salary saver here. If Keenan Allen doesn't play, then Travis Benjamin becomes interesting as the deep play threat. He will get more snaps than he normally does with Keenan Allen out of the way, if that's how it goes. All right, that's it for the Saturday slate. Let's jump into the main slate on Sunday. Let's dive right in. First game on the docket. We've got the Cowboys at home taking on the Buccaneers. Skybook Sportsbook has the game total here at 46.5 points, with the Cowboys favored by 7 at home. And guys, I'm just going to tell you right off the bat, this is a fucking smash spot for Zeke Elliott, okay? When I looked over the slate, and you look at the high end of the running back position, and there's some other ones. You got Gurley. Is he injured? I don't know. You got McCaffrey. We'll talk about him in a little bit. There's some issues there. You've got Saquon Barkley. Again, some issues there. You know who doesn't have issues? Zeke Elliott at home facing the Tampa defense. That's the perfect spot. You're not going to get better. He's favored. The game total is reasonably high. It's everything I look for in the situation, so I'm looking no further. I'm looking no further than Zeke. His usage is ridiculous. Last week in a bad game, he still got you 19 points. He didn't even score. That's what the guy brings to the table. Don't overthink it. Now, Amari Cooper, very popular. Great spot for him as well. Dak Prescott, playable on the Dallas side. For Tampa. Now, I normally don't like to target offenses playing the Dallas defense. Not because Dallas's defense is great. It is. It's very good. And it's ranked very nicely, but more so, it passes the eye test, especially at home. Like, we saw Luck kind of beat them. Not really Luck, really. It was really Marlon Mack. Marlone Cheeto Mack beat them last week, but that was an anomaly. Normally, the way that Cowboys games go, they control the clock, they control the football, give it to Zeke, throw it to Cooper, get the first down, 15-play drive, 10 minutes off the clock, first touchdown. And that's what happens. You get a possession, a three and out, they take it back for another 12 minutes. And all of a sudden, the first half is done, and your team had the football twice. That's the kind of games that Dallas plays. Now, that said, the Tampa defense offense is exciting. Jameis Winston, there's a lot of weapons that we like, and the Cowboys don't have enough to stop them. The issue for me is how many possessions will they get? This Dallas team is just not one to be trifled with. We don't want to mess with them as far as targeting offenses against them. So Tampa becomes really just a tournament-only kind of afterthought play for me. Not something I want to get too crazy with. All right, next on the docket, we've got the Patriots at home taking on the Bills. Now, looking over at Skybook Sportsbook, they've got this game total set at 45 points with the Patriots favored by a massive 12.5 points in this one. Now, I'm not a betting man, but if I was, and I am, I'd be very interested in the Bills in this game. Not because I think they're going to win it, but 12.5 points seems like a bit much for a New England team that seems to play most games very close. And the Bills' offense has been interesting. You know, the strength of the Patriots' defense this season has been their cornerback play. Scheming and cornerback play. Their corners are excellent. People don't give them enough credit. They have two shutdown corners on the Patriots, both ranked in the top 20 of cornerbacks in the league. And when you have two of those on your team, you're in a good spot, right? And we saw it last week with the Steelers. The Steelers wide receivers, you know, Antonio Brown didn't do that much, relatively speaking, considering what the game was. So we've seen this with them before. You don't want to mess with the New England corners. But the thing about Buffalo is they play a weird offense that doesn't really, it's not traditional. He's throwing bombs. He's scrambling around. He's running it. So they have to pay extra attention to the quarterback and, you know, quarterback sneaks. Now, I'm a little concerned with the lack of much of a running game for Buffalo. And maybe that could be a real factor. You know, you give Bill Belichick a one-dimensional offense, which is really what this is. A one-dimensional offense to game plan for, and I think he's going to do a good job with it. So, you know, I'm not quite sure I want to load up on a reload up. By the way, I had a great bunch of stacks with Allen and Robert Foster last week, which was awesome for myself, for DFSArmy.com VIP members. They were highlighted in my sheet pick that I put out every single week for DFSArmy.com subscribers, where I break down all of the plays, all of the players, put, you know, 25 to 30 players, my favorites with notes, and what we like about them, why, and the ones that I consider in play for the week. That's part of what we do in DFSArmy.com.
for our VIP members. And you know, Alan to Foster was highlighted in a crush last week. So that was awesome. I still like it again. Foster seems to be the guy for the Bills, but he's going to be chalky now this week and in a much less attractive matchup again against these New England corners. I think that the style of play that Buffalo does can beat good cornerback play just because with the quarterback running around the way he does and just throwing bombs, it's very difficult to stay with a wide receiver for that long. So I'm giving that a chance, but I'm more interested in on the Buffalo side just the fact that I think 12.5 points is too much. So we'll see if that line comes down. On the Patriots side, never easy to target players against this Bills defense. They're pretty good. They're particularly good against the run. New England at home, they spread the football around quite a bit. I think Edelman is in play. I think maybe Gronk a little bit, although, you know, I don't want to pay up for him the way he's been sort of up and down and dudding on occasion. But he's certainly playable. And Josh Gordon, the wide receiver, and the running backs, Michelle and White. So there, I probably won't play any of them. I probably won't play anybody from New England. Sorry. All right, moving on to the next game on the docket. This one's interesting, and we're going to spend a little extra time on this one. We've got the Panthers at home taking on the Falcons. Skybook Sportsbook has the Falcons, has the Panthers installed as 4-point favorites at the moment, with a game total at 50 points. Now, it's very Cam Newton is done for the season. They've shelved him. I think these numbers are going to move. They've shelved Cam Newton for the season. And rolling out a backup quarterback, I don't care where you are, home, away, you know, it's not a good look. So, the Panthers are going to be rolling out a backup here, and this is what I was talking about before with Christian McCaffrey. Normally, whenever Atlanta comes to town, you load up on pass-catching running backs and rake in all the cash. That's been a strategy that I've been employing, that everybody's been employing since the first week of the season, actually quite going back to last season. You know, that's nothing new. The problem is, can we really feel confident loading up on a running back who's going to be under the watchful eye of Taylor Heinicke as quarterback of the Panthers? I want quarterbacks on teams that win their games. And in this case, I don't really see where the Panthers with their backup quarterback in are going to win. Now, I could be wrong. Listen, it's a home game. It's a division rival. But that's the other thing. Division rivalry games tend to be lower scoring. You get rid of Newton, so you got this crazy backup quarterback in there. He's been with the team for a bit, but he's never been in an NFL game. So I'm actually interested in Atlanta defense a little bit in this spot. Just because anytime a rookie is coming out for their first ever game, you have to. Hey, this guy's not a rookie. He's been in the league for a couple years. But you would think he knows the system. He'll never have a better spot. I guess you can almost play Taylor Heinicke in a contrarian approach. No one's going to play him. You know, imagine if he comes out and goes crazy. Imagine. So imagine that. For 4K on DraftKings, for Min Sauer and FanDuel, it's actually pretty interesting. Who would I pair him with? Maybe Godwin or Evans. I mean, if I'm the young guy, who do I throw into? I'm throwing to the grizzly vet who commands the football. That's Evans. Maybe Christian McCaffrey and Taylor Heinicke. So maybe I will play Christian McCaffrey, but only paired up with Taylor Heinicke in tournaments, right? Go crazy with it. But it's Taylor Heinicke, so, you know, tournament only. Let's not mess with that in cash. Now, the issue for me, though, as when I was talking about Christian McCaffrey, I'm not talking about a tournament play. I'm talking about in cash games, right? If I'm going to pay up top dollar for a running back, and he's the most expensive, or right up there, I need someone who's a lock to produce. And normally this matchup would be a lock to produce game, but can we really trust McCaffrey, trust him in cash, in a game where the backup quarterback is playing? And the answer is no. It's too risky for cash games. We've got to save that for a tournament only, and probably only with Heinicke, because if Heinicke's playing well, then McCaffrey's probably playing well too. All right, so On the other side of this game, last week Matt Ryan to Julio Jones was the tournament winning combination for a lot of people. Wish I would have thought of it. I think you can go right back to that combo this week, assuming that Julio Jones is healthy. He's got a questionable tag going right now, but if he's healthy, you can go right back to it. The Panthers do have an excellent corner, Bradbury, so it's not the best spot in the world for Julio. Like, it's not a great spot on paper. It's not something I want to go to in cash games, but again, if I'm game stacking, I think Julio could beat any sort of coverage, so I'm giving it a shot. But just not a cash play, not with excellent cornerback play on the Panthers. All right, next up we've got the Dolphins at home taking on the Jaguars. Looking over at Skybook Sportsbook, they've got the Dolphins favored by 4.5 points with the game total set at one of the worst on the slate, 39-point total. So an ugly game between some ugly teams. Now, Miami has one of the worst run defenses in the league right now. But can we trust the Jaguars to run it against them? The answer is no. Last week, Fournette was in a great spot against a Washington defense that had just been bleeding points to whoever they were facing. And they got their asses kicked. They completely went away from Fournette. It was embarrassing. It was embarrassing. I was happy I didn't play Fournette. I was happy I didn't tell anyone to play Fournette because it was embarrassing. I was happy that FanDuel overpriced Fournette to the point where you wouldn't want to play. Thank you, FanDuel, for that. That was awesome. And I don't trust him here. I mean, I actually was just chatting with fellow DFS Army subscribers, and somebody was talking about Blake Bortles, if he plays, being interesting. Okay, I can accept that. You know, if they play Bortles and he's min salary or something, great. But I don't think they will. I think they're done with Bortles. But I don't know. We'll have to see. And I came in relief last week or a couple of weeks ago. So I don't know. We'll have to see what the story is. But in general, I don't really want to target Miami here either. I know the Jags' pass defense is very good. Miami has running backs and Kalen Ballage, and we saw the Jaguars get destroyed by Derrick Henry. I'm just not going there. I'm just not going there. I'm going to skip it. Skipping that game. Miami defense is interesting, but not very interesting, just a little. All right, next up on the docket, we've got the Colts at home taking on the Giants. The Colts are 9-point favorites in this game, and the Skybook Sportsbook game total on this one is 46.5 points. So where do we begin? Well, first of all, I've been talking about Skybook Sportsbook. They sponsor the podcast. If you go sign up at Skybook Sportsbook and use promo code DFS1000, you're going to be entered in a contest to win a couple hundred dollars. If you make an initial deposit, they got some really good. They got a really good promo going where you'll be entered into a contest and they're going to give out, you know, $200 to all these people that enter this contest as long as you sign up and make a deposit. So go check them out at skybook.ag. All right, so where was I? Colts, Giants. Now, the Giants looked terrible last week, taking on the Titans. Giants were at home for that one, and without Odell Beckham Jr. So while they peppered, for example, Sterling Shepard with targets, he didn't really catch any of them, which was not cool at all. And Saquon Barkley had his worst game of the season. So I'm not sure if the Giants are in full quit mode or what the hell went on, but they looked terrible last week, and now I don't trust them. Now, this is a Colts defense that just limited the Cowboys, also at home, and basically didn't let them do a damn thing. They shut them out. Okay, this Colts defense is pretty, pretty good. And, you know, I'm not going back. You know, at this point of the season, we should know a lot about these teams. I'm not looking as much at DVOA because it's full season. I'm looking at how they've been recently. Now, the Colts have been superb against the run all season long. Ranked fifth overall. Pretty good against the pass as well in terms of keeping the passes in front of them, limiting opposing yardage. But when you see the run numbers, I mean, this is the same team that just stopped Zeke Elliott from having a big day. And do you want to pay up top dollar for Saquon Barkley in cash games taking on this very, very tough Colts defense. Now, I will say that there's a discrepancy between FanDuel and DraftKings where Barkley's actually priced down quite a bit on DraftKings, and very interesting there. But on FanDuel, no. He's the most expensive or over the most expensive tier. He will need to deliver a massive game. I do like him on DraftKings, though, for a much cheaper and more reasonable $7,800 price tag, where he is, you know, all the way down, priced very similarly to Amari Cooper, and I certainly would play Barkley over Amari Cooper, even though I like Amari Cooper as well. Looking at the Giants, though, furthermore, the question is Odell Beckham going to play or not? We don't know. If he plays, it raises the prospects for the entire team. On the Colts side, it's the same crew, but one more. So last week, T.Y. Hilton came in. He was questionable. Ended up playing. Ended up having a pretty good game. He's still questionable again for this week. I mean, he had 8 targets, 5 receptions. Didn't do a huge amount of damage, but he did enough. And he's in a great spot here again against this Giants defense. Can't stop anything. Can't stop the pass. So he's in a great, great spot. Ebron busted last week and busted up a lot of lineups along the way. Only 3 targets. Why did this happen, you ask? Why? Well, I'll tell you why. Because Marlone Cheeto Mack was dominating the game and dominating the end zone. And that's what happens. This is why we look at correlations. If Marlon Mack is beasting, then the tight end is not. Because how does a running back beast? He's getting the tutties. And how does the tight end beast? Same deal. He's getting those tutties. So if normally in the average game flow of a game, the way it will progress is you'll get down to the 4 or 3, 2 yard line, goal line, right? They'll try to run it in. If that doesn't work, they'll pretend like they'll do the play action bootleg and throw it to the tight end. But if you run it in on the first down and you get it in every time, they don't need to go to the bootleg tight end play. So you don't really get the tight end scoring if the running back is running at will. And last week, Marlon Mack, 27 rushing attempts. Oh my goodness. 139 yards. Even a target in the passing game. So Mack is in play. You have to appreciate the volume from last week. It is important to note that, you know, that was the most volume he's ever had. Maybe he got hot and they just kept him in. Because a lot of times the Colts will take him out for Naeem Hines or even there's another running back sort of bruiser type on that team. So they'll take him out. But in this case, he was just scoring. He was just kicking so much ass, they just left him in the game. Pretty cool. But Mack is in play. Saquon Barkley in play on DraftKings. T.Y. Hilton, sure. On the Giants side, even Evan Ingram may be playable if Odell is out again. All right. Next up, another interesting game. We've got the Eagles at home, 1-point favorite, taking on the Texans. Skybook Sportsbook has the game total set at 45.5 points. Now, the Eagles look pretty good under the helmsmanship of Nick Foles. Now, are we getting late season, postseason Nick Foles right now? I don't know. I do want to say this about this Texans defense because there's some misperceptions and some things I really like about this game. So, the Texans bring the number one overall run defense to the table. The Eagles respond with the 25th ranked run offense. What does that mean? That means they don't give a shit because they can't run it anyway. Like, hey, your strength, our weakness, negates each other. We weren't going to run it anyway, bitch. So what do you do against the Texans? You throw on them. And I said this last week on this show. I said it in my VIP pod. I talked about it with everybody. Andrew Luck was in for a good spot at Houston, which was this last week or 2 weeks ago? A couple weeks ago. Yeah, 2 weeks ago. When Andrew Luck took on the Texans, the reason I liked him there is because if your team can't score on the ground, they're either going to, and when you bring the number one rush defense in the league to town, and the team can't score via the run, then they're going to have to throw for the tutties. And that's precisely what Andrew Luck and the Colts did 2 weeks ago on the Texans defense. The Texans have not faced elite quarterback play. Now, I wouldn't call Nick Foles elite quarterback play by any stretch, but they haven't faced elite quarterback play at all. So the rankings are a little bit off. You know, I think they're vulnerable to the pass. Now, let's think about how the Eagles will attack them via the pass. And I think the best way is Nick Foles clearly has a thing for Alshon Jeffrey. I mean, there's no doubt. They have a connection. They did great together in the playoffs last year. He just looks for Alshon. So that seems like the easy pairing. We saw earlier in the season that Foles was throwing to Zach Ertz. Now, Alshon wasn't in those games, but Foles was throwing to Ertz 10, 12, 14 targets a game early in the season when there's no one else. So he certainly has a comfort level with Zach Ertz as well. So Foles is interesting here. Super cheap on the daily fantasy sites. Now, on the Texan side, I really like the idea of game stacking. So DeAndre Hopkins, assuming he's healthy, he's got a questionable tag, but assuming he's healthy, is the top dog in this offense. I am not using Deshaun Watson without DeAndre Hopkins together. They don't spread the football around on that team the way they do on some other teams. So for me, when I'm jumping onto the DFSArmy.com Domination Station Optimizer, one of the first stacks I'm going to set up this week is Watson to Hopkins. I'm going to lock those two in together for a certain percentage, but I like the idea of bringing it back around with some Eagles players for the full game stack. So it could be Watkins, Hopkins, Watson, Hopkins, Alshon, Watson, Hopkins, Ertz, Foles, Ertz, Alshon, Hopkins, any number of combos. Now, we have to watch the status of Lamar Miller. If Miller is out for this game, I love the passing games for both teams even more. Because if Miller's out, I don't really see Alfred Blue as a workhorse slash guy that's going to control a football game. He doesn't have that level of talent. So what I could see happening here is just in one of those games where there's just a lot of passing. Now, for Deshaun Watson to make value, he's really going to need a second wide receiver to produce or a second pass catcher of some sort. And it's really tough. I mean, Demaryius Thomas is there. I don't know if Kiki Kuti is going to play. And there isn't a whole lot else going on in this pass offense. So, you know, it almost would make sense to lock him in with just one and then bring it back around from players from the other team. All right, let's move on to the next game on the docket. We've got the Vikings on the road heading to Detroit as 5.5-point favorites. Skybook Sportsbook has the game total here set at 43.5 points, so a very low game total. Vikings taking on the Lions at the Lions. Now, I don't know what's up with Kirk Cousins lately, but he just has not looked himself. Last week, they just relied on Dalvin Cook and pretty much didn't have to pass very much. We've seen that. Well, there's some things about this game that I need to point out. So, all right, let's start off with the defense. Vikings sporting the 12th DVOA run defense. Similar versus the pass. So Vikings just very, very good defensively. Top one-third of the league in all categories. The Lions rush defense has been improving statistically in recent weeks. So where early in the season they were last by a big margin, their ranking has been improving. And this is the challenging part about reading these rankings and trying to really take much out of them. The Lions have actually been pretty good against the run for the second half of the season. They've actually been way more vulnerable to the pass, and they're coming in 31st overall at defending the pass. So kind of flipped around. Now, on paper, you would think this game favors the Vikings passing offense because those Lions can really stop the run a little bit, and more so Adam Thielen because Darius Slay is going to be on Stephon Diggs on the outside, leaving Thielen in the slot to sort of feast on the other crappy cornerbacks that the Lions have, and they all suck. Here's the problem. Thielen has been a massive disappointment week after week after week, so it's really hard to pull the trigger at this point on Adam Thielen. Like, I mean, I could just read off some of these numbers, but they ain't pretty. And he's still very expensive for a guy coming off a two-target effort. And before that, you know, 12 points, 13 points. So he's got three pretty bad games in a row. And he did have the one explosion versus the Packers, but the 2 weeks before that, including the Lions game, didn't do a whole lot. So these two teams have faced each other. Now, one thing that I read today, and DFS Army has a service called Beat the Bookie, which is a handicapping service. If you sign up for Skybook Sportsbook using promo code DFS1000, you should also sign up for DFS Army Beat the Bookie, where you can learn about all the plays, and, you know, we have machine learning models and handicapping systems and all kinds of good stuff going on there. So you can check that out. But the Beat the Bookie guys sent me a note about how second divisional games tend to go play to the under. Now, this already has a low under of 42.5 points. And what they're saying is because of the familiarity of these two teams, they just played a few weeks ago, they've already game planned for one another, so they've already seen things in action, and they can go back to that tape, look at it, and make adjustments. It's really difficult. You have to be careful about these division games, especially late in the season where the teams are facing each other for the second time, because it's like a practice run. You just get better the second time when you've seen what the other team has to offer, and these teams just know each other really well. So that's a risk. But in general, you'd think this was a good spot for Adam Thielen. So, and mostly because Slay, let's see what Diggs did last time in this matchup. And I don't remember if Slay was active, but last time Detroit missed the game. There it is. So I'm looking and looking. That was the game that Diggs missed. And actually that was one of those situations where I think everybody was on Thielen. Oh man, it's hard to even remember it now. Or it's unpleasant to remember it now. So, you know, week 9. So what happened in that game was Diggs was out. And then everybody piled on to Thielen as the best play on the slate because there's no Diggs there. But in reality, Thielen would do better with Diggs in this matchup because we need Diggs to draw coverage so that Thielen can run, hopefully, free against the slot corner. So there it is. Good to check and good to remember. I think there's a slight difference in the dynamic in this one. On the Lions side, nothing I'm really super interested in. Galladay coming off a big game last week, but, you know, that was kind of fluky, and I don't really take on wide receivers going up against Xavier Rhodes, you know, elite cornerback play. Both of these teams have elite corners, even though Darius Slay hasn't been as great this year as he has in the past, but he's still very good. And Rhodes is just not somebody, Xavier Rhodes is not somebody you want to trifle with. So I do like Thielen a bit, but that's about it. Nothing on the Viking side in the passing game, on the Lions side in the passing game. Dalvin Cook is in play as well. He's a workhorse. He's in play. All right, next game on the docket, we've got my beloved New York Jets at home. And this is unbelievable. Skybook Sportsbook, what are you guys doing here? This is crazy. They're taking on the Packers. 44-point game total. The Jets are favored. They're favored. What? Excuse me? The Jets, under the helmsmanship of Sam Darnold, are favored against the Packers. It's crazy. So, I don't even know what to do with myself. I can't even believe my eyes. Skybook Sportsbook has a game total here at 44 points. And here's the deal. We don't know if Aaron Rodgers is going to play in this game. There's some talk. I think he's going to play. But there's some talk about shutting him down and blah, blah, blah. Now, this is a very important game for DFS purposes, as ugly as it looks on the board. We could talk about the defenses here. The Jets' defense, meh, it's pretty bad, particularly against the run. They've been okay against the pass this season, ranking 11th overall in DVOA. Run defense, 23rd overall. They can't really stop the run. Packers' run defense, terrible. Pass defense, pretty bad. So the Packers just have done nothing well. Jets defensively, a little okay against the pass, but you're not stopping Aaron Rodgers if he's there to win. Like, if he's coming to play, he's coming to play. So let's throw all of that out the window. There are some plays in this game that are interesting. Again, this is assuming that Aaron Rodgers will play. The Packers lost Aaron Jones last week. That thrusts Jamal Williams into a virtual every down role for this team. I like running backs for cheap against the Jets that are going to be out there every single play. Let's get that straight. Now, I would like them more if this was a home game for the Packers, but I like Jamal Williams here. If you're in a season-long league and that guy was available on waiver, you should have picked him up. Get him. Top choice. Davante Adams crushes good coverage every single week. There's no reason why not to go back to Davante Adams. He has been the most consistent wide receiver in football that nobody's talking about. You want to know why nobody's talking about him? Because he has a bad matchup every single week and no one wants to play him. Oh, he's facing the Bears. I played him last week, loaded up. Facing the Bears. He's facing the Darius Slay, Xavier Rhodes, the Rams. Every single week he's got a tough matchup. And let me just read off what this guy has done this year. And these are DraftKings points numbers. All right, you ready? At Chicago, bad matchup, right? 24.9. Atlanta, 21.1. Arizona, 23.3. Seattle, 30. Vikings, 18. Miami, 21. Rams, 21. San Francisco, 38. Detroit, 32. This guy goes off every single week. His worst game of the season was a 16 against the Patriots. And I already mentioned that the Patriots have excellent cornerback play, maybe some of the best in the game. But they also know how to bracket your one weapon, which is what the Patriots would obviously do with someone like Davante Adams. But it's been a bad matchup every single week, and he produces week in and week out. He's one of my favorite players this season, one of the guys I roster a lot, and I'm all over Davante as long as Aaron Rodgers plays. He's got to play. Jamal Williams. Davante Adams. Aaron Rodgers is playable. Now, on the Jets side, I actually don't mind Robbie Anderson here. He went off last week. Robbie Anderson, you probably never heard of him. Because you never watch a Jets game. Because the Jets suck. I get it. I'm a Jets fan. I'm aware. You don't have to tell me. Send your hate mail to @FFootballGeek on Twitter. Because I know anytime I badmouth a team, I get terrible mail, I get the terrible DMs, right? So send it to @FFootballGeek@gmail.com and tell me why you think the Jets are watchable. Now, I do think they are. I like it. I'm actually enjoying the season. I like watching the rookie Sam Darnold develop. I'm all about that. So I'm kidding. For the most part. But Robbie Anderson looked real good. 11 targets last week. Let's talk about Robbie Anderson's last 3 weeks, people. 7 targets, 7 targets, 11 targets. He's still underpriced. He's one of my favorites this week. Now, it's hard to feel confident in a wide receiver at a team helmed by Sam Darnold. But the reality is, he's the only game in town for that offense. There's no one else to throw to. Darnold's going to make his throws. He's at home. He just had a good game against the Texans. A good game. And this is why I told you, by the way, you play wide receivers against the Texans because you can't run against them normally. So he just had a very good game at home against the Texans. I'm looking for more of the same out of Sam Darnold here at home. He's playable. Now, I'm not going to really load up on Sam Darnold. Let's not go crazy. His ceiling isn't high enough to really be winning you any sort of tournaments anyway. But he's fine. And you pair him up with Robbie Anderson because there's no one else to pair him up with. Chris Herndon, the tight end, is an option, though not a great one. He's okay. And, of course, a salary saver in Eli McGuire, who played pretty much a full complement of snaps last week, got 18 carries, didn't do a ton with them against the Texans, had 17 carries the week before against the Bills, had some carries against Tennessee. I mean, it's been a murderer's row of run defenses with the Texans, Bills, and Titans the last 3 weeks for McGuire. But this is a Packers defense that bleeds runs to bleeds yards to opposing running backs. So I like Elijah McGuire here, assuming that Crowell is out. So, like, Crowell should be out. There's no competition here for McGuire. He's in a good spot. If I have to choose between McGuire and Jamal Williams, which I do, in certain situations, I actually do. I'm going to choose Jamal Williams. Like, in my season-long league, I have them both. I have them both in a bunch of leagues. I'm probably going Williams over McGuire, but I don't have any issue if you go the opposite way. All right, let's take a break to get a word from our sponsor, Skybook Sportsbook, and I will be back to break down the rest of the slate.
Thank you for listening to the DFS Army Podcast. Join the DFS Army today and gain access to our private Slack chat, where you can chat with real DFS pros and coaches, as well as other DFS Army members with winning track records. Also included in your membership is access to our premium articles, DFS Army weighted projections for every sport we offer, from NFL to MMA, weekly player picks and cheat sheets, the strategy vault of timeless concepts, and the DFS Army Domination Station, a truly state-of-the-art lineup optimizer offering your personal projections or ours. The DFS Army membership is the best value across the industry. Join today and get two free ebooks, as well as the secrets to unlocking a new level to your game.
All right, we're back breaking down the week 16 main slate for daily fantasy football purposes, and we've got another exciting game where I do think there's going to be some action. So let's check the Skybook Sportsbook numbers here. We've got the Browns at home, favored by 7, taking on the Bengals in a game with a 45.5 point total. Now, here's a little known secret that you might not have been aware of. You know, the Browns are really good against the pass defensively. They're actually ranked 5th overall. They've been stopping the pass this season. But we have another fine by me situation where the Bengals are like, guess what? We didn't got anybody to throw it to. So take your good pass defense and shove it. And they don't have anyone to throw to. AJ Green is out. Tyler Boyd looks like he's out for the rest of the season. It would be a miracle if he plays. Their quarterback is gone. I mean, this team is a mess. And the Bengals are coming in for an ass whooping. Let's be clear. They're coming to Cleveland to take an ass whooping. Which makes me like the Browns offense quite a bit, and the Browns defense as well in this particular matchup. So let's start with Browns defense. Probably my favorite play of all in this game. But another special play for me is going to be Chubb. Nick Chubb. This Bengals run defense is so freaking bad. They bleed points to opposing running backs. They've been doing it all year. It's been one of those situations where you just follow them and see who are they playing against, and you just roll out that running back. Okay, I made so much money doing that already this year, and I'm keeping it going. I don't love the fact that Chubb doesn't catch many passes, but he catches enough. This idea that he can't catch passes is just not reality. Okay? He got a target last week, but 2 weeks ago at Carolina, 6 targets, and he'd been averaging 3 targets, 3 receptions per game, and actually doing a little something with them. So I like Nick Chubb. The last time the Browns faced the Bengals, he put up 27 fantasy points. He got 28 carries. So he's just in a good spot. He's coming off a game against Denver. The Broncos are very good run defensively. I didn't like him. Didn't want to play him. Rightfully so. He only put up 13. But actually, it was a very impressive 13 points against the Broncos. But here, it's such a better matchup. They're favored at home. What you look for in running back, in case you didn't know, what I'm looking for are running backs from teams that are going to win their game, that are favored, ideally at home. I want running backs on winning teams. I don't want losers. You don't score from the running back position in a losing effort unless we're talking about like cheap guys. So you could look at an Elijah McGuire, who's an underpriced running back, and say, all right, I'll roll him out. Why? Because he's 4,800. But I'm not paying elite money for running backs in losing spots. I want winners. I think the Browns are winners in this game, and I think Chubb is going to be the biggest winner of them all. I don't want anything to do with the Bengals. Not playing Mixon. Sorry. I loaded up on Mixon last week, so you don't think I'm a Mixon hater. I had an all-in play call on Mixon and Dalvin Cook last week. a rare all-in play call for me. And it worked out amazingly. So, I'm not a hater. I just don't like him here. Guys, we're getting there. We're coming to the afternoon slate. Coming to the late games. First one on the docket. We've got the Rams heading to Arizona as 14-point favorites. The game that Skybook Sportsbook has pegged for a 47.5-point total. Now, the big news or non-news or whatever about this game is we don't know what's going to happen with the hurly-gurly man. Todd Gurley, questionable, came out for a few plays last week. Late in the season, Rams won't need him here. Do they rest him? Do they rest him? I need to know. I think it's too risky to take the chance. Okay? Even if he's not announced that he's going to rest, even if they say he's going to start, can we safely pay the most expensive salary on either site for Todd Gurley, not knowing if they're going to just give him 10, 12 carries, take a big lead, and put him on the shelf? So if you want to get cute, the problem is it's tough to get cute in this game. I had this idea of getting cute, but you really can't even trust who the backup is. I think it's going to be John Kelly, but they also brought somebody up from the practice squad, and it's very tough to know. But I have this thought that if Gurley is ruled out, then John Kelly probably becomes a very interesting play. John Kelly's a backup running back for the Rams. If you're listening to this and you're in a season-long league, pick that motherfucker up just in case. As a matter of fact, as soon as I'm done recording this, I need to pick him up in that league I have Todd Gurley in. So I can get screwed. I got Gurley and I got Aaron Jones and I got nothing. I got no handcuffs, so I'm in trouble in the championship. I need to do something. I'm going to pick up John Kelly, right, just in case. But, you know, if Gurley plays in your season-long league, we're going to play him. You don't take chances. But in daily fantasy, we have to consider salary. And I'm not paying the top dollar for a guy that may or may not get a full workload. The whole beauty of Todd Gurley, outside of his incredible talent, is his incredible workload for his team. So if he's rested, and I get if they want to do it, I understand it. I would too. When you're favored by 14, you probably go in there, just put a beating on the Cardinals without having to exert too much effort. Fine. But don't burn my daily fantasy DraftKings and FanDuel lineups, all right? Don't burn them. No, thank you. I don't like David Johnson in this spot. I don't like anything to do with the Cardinals offense. Rams defense, playable. I think a good play. I like defenses at home. I'll still play the Rams defense. If Gurley's out, you would have to expect that Goff will be passing. I also think they want to get Goff going again, so I think they're going to throw it a little bit. The Cardinals sport a high-quality cornerback in Patrick Peterson. He plays on the outside, which means he should see Brandon Cooks more often than not, which means that Robert Woods probably going to be the focal point of the passing offense. So I like Robert Woods above Brandon Cooks, paired with Goff in tournaments. Another interesting one here. West Coast. And we're getting to the big one, guys. We're getting there. But another interesting one, West Coast. We've got the Bears heading out to San Francisco to take on the 49ers. Bears are 4-point favorites. And Skybook Sportsbook has a game total at 42.5 points. Now, we already know the Bears bring a really, really good defense to the table. More interestingly for me, I don't really see a whole lot going on from San Francisco in terms of scoring. You could throw on this Bears team, but I think there's going to be a lot of sacks. They play a very relentless defense. It's very tough to run on them. Now, sometimes when teams play San Francisco, they kind of let down a little bit. Don't play as well because they think they're facing a turd team. But the 49ers have been pretty good. They've been pretty decent offensively most of the season. But I'm sorry, I can't roll out Nick Mullins and company against this Bears defense. I don't care that they're on the road. What I am interested in more so is Trubisky and the Bears offense, because these 49ers seem to give up a ton of points when they face a good offensive team. They all year long, if you look at their, you know, I'll read them off because that's how I roll. Okay. 49ers, right? We want to talk about what they give up. to good quality offenses. All right, 27 points to the Bucks, 39 points, I'm sorry, to the Rams, Packers 33, Arizona, 29 points to Chargers, 38 points to Kansas City, Detroit put 30 up on them. So, 27. That's a little tricky to read it back and forth, but the point is, they're regularly giving up 25 to 30 points to opposing offenses. You might think that doesn't sound like that much, but yeah, I mean, you put up 230, that'd be a 60 point over under. I mean, 25 points, 50. They're giving up a lot of points. So I think that in this spot, Chicago could outscore the projected total that has been assigned for them. Right now, see, one of the things I'm trying to do is look for games that are going to play to the over. I don't know if this game will play to the over. It might. For that to happen, the 49ers would have to be able to score. But if they can score, that really should be a very interesting game. And check this out. Right now, Vegas has the Bears set to score 23.5 points and the 49ers to score 19.5. All of the projections and everything are based on those numbers. So if they could play to the over, if the Bears can put up 29 points or 31, they should outscore most of their projections, especially their position players. So I'm down with that. I like Tariq Cohen here. I like Trubisky. It's tough to really figure out which pass catcher from the Bears is going to be good on a given week, but Allen Robinson and Taylor Gabriel, both playable, neither safe because of the lack of sort of a consistent go-to wide receiver, but both very playable. I don't like really anything on the 49er side of this one, though, guys. All right, here we go. Last game of the main slate. The big one. We've got the Saints at home taking on the Steelers. Saints are favored by 6 with a whopping Skybook Sportsbook 57-point game total. And when I say whopping, it so eclipses every other game. I would imagine that by the next day or two, you know, the Carolina-Atlanta game will be well below 50-point total, which will leave this as the only game even in the 50s, and it's 57-point total. So this is the game that Vegas is begging us to target, which means it's worth an in-depth look. Now, defensively, the Saints show as terrible against the pass and fairly stout against the run. We've seen the Saints defense, though, wilt to the run. They're ranked still 3rd overall. We did see Zeke Elliott put a beating on them, but for the most part, they've been very stout against the run. So, in essence, when you're facing the Saints, you're forced to pass. And when they're scoring, you got to keep up. So, I know it feels like deja vu, because we just saw Roethlisberger go up against Brady. Two old guys going at it, right? Couple dads. Couple of NFL dads going at it. But we've got basically the same situation here. I mean, it's the Saints, the Steelers. We've got Breeze at home. It's tough to run on the Steelers. Now, the Saints can run on anybody, but the Steelers bring a tough run defense and weaker versus the pass. Same deal with the Saints. So there should be a lot of throwing. Now, with the Saints, it's very difficult to pinpoint who they're going to throw to. I don't even want to bother trying. Michael Thomas rarely now gets enough volume to justify his elevated price point. There are turds on top of turds, Kirkwood and Dan Arnold and Hill and Taysom Hill and all these different names and Tommy Lee Lewis. They throw it to everybody. Don't bother stacking. If I'm stacking Breeze, I'm stacking him with players from the Saints, from the Steelers. Like, I'll stack Breeze with Juju Smith-Schuster or Antonio Brown. Now, I'm probably better off just stacking Ben with those guys, but that's because it's very difficult to stack a player like Drew Brees. Can't stack him. It's hard to stack. I don't love the Mark Ingram in this one. You know, this game seems to favor a pass-heavy script, which would favor Kamara a little bit. I think the Steelers can stop a running back like Ingram. We'll see if that occurs. And a guy like he can still get in. You know, they're going to give him some goal line carries, so he could still make value, but I think it's a lower likelihood. We have to see what the Steelers do with their running back position. If it's Connor and we have to pay top dollar for him. You know, I'm interested, but not as a primary play. Let's see where Connor is priced. This week, 7K. So that is a reasonable salary level, even in what is considered on paper to be a tough matchup. If it's Jalen Samuels, I'll have more interest as long as he's cheap. Not because I think Samuels will be able to gash the Saints defense, but more so because he's cheap and the Steelers will throw to their running backs constantly, which just is value for a guy like Jalen Samuels, who I was all in on last week in his offensive explosion. Yeah, look at that. DraftKings jacked up the Samuel price to 6,700. And actually, I have to say that is way too much. So screw that. Not touching. I do like Ben, Brown, Juju, all over again. Let's go right back to it. I know it didn't work last week. I know this. I know it. But that doesn't mean it's not going to work this week. This is a much worse team. Like, Brown and Juju did terrible last week. They're not going to keep doing that. They're going to turn it around. So load up on these guys. Load up on this game. That's going to do it for the DFS Army Daily Fantasy Sports Vegas Lines Breakdown. Again, week 16. Crush those fantasy leagues, guys. Do it. Win those championships. I'll be back next week to close out the season with the last Geeks Vegas Lines podcast of the year. Good luck this week, everybody.
Thank you for listening to the DFS Army Podcast. Join the DFS Army today and gain access to our private Slack chat, where you can chat with real DFS pros and coaches, as well as other DFS Army members with winning track records. Also included in your membership is access to our premium articles, DFS Army weighted projections for every sport we offer, from NFL to MMA, weekly player picks and cheat sheets, the strategy vault of timeless concepts, and the DFS Army Domination Station, a truly state-of-the-art lineup optimizer offering your personal projections or ours. The DFS Army membership is the best value across the industry. Join today and get two free ebooks, as well as the secrets to unlocking a new level to your game.